You are listening to the Health Hack Podcast, powered by Lumen and hosted by myself, Caroline Pierce. As an athlete, sports scientist, and sports presenter, I am passionate about health and how we can unlock the skills to hack our full potential. Each episode, I'll be joined by a leader in the health and well-being world to learn how they've come to understand their body and turned that knowledge into power that could help you too. Today's guest is a huge sports star, quite literally. He is the 2017 World's Strongest Man, owner of the world record for the deadlift at 500 kilograms. That's just over 1,102 pounds, my American friends. He's also one of the first athletes I ever interviewed in my sports broadcasting career. He is the beast, Eddie Hall. Eddie, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm good. Hi, Caroline. Yeah, all good. Thank you.
Good. We were just talking before about how long it's been since we saw one another. So we go back to when I used to present World's Strongest Man, Europe's Strongest Man, Giants Live, 2015 and before that. And you've gone on to become the World's Strongest Man, you know, realize your dream, your childhood dream. I mean, because I wasn't there for that moment. I'd left the sport at that point. Talk me through how that felt to finally sort of realize your dream.
It's one of the most amazing feelings in the world. I can honestly say that. You know, it's a dream I had from a young boy, sort of 5-6 years old. I remember sitting around a TV with my family watching The World's Strongest Man, and everyone's jaw was on the floor. And I just remember I wanted that reaction. I wanted to grow up and get that reaction out of people. So it's been a dream since I was like 5. And then, yeah, when you handed that trophy on that first place spot, it's just like the most surreal moment in life. You know, you were literally the most powerful man on the planet, even if for one day, you know, to have that title is pretty special, and it does feel good.
And no one could take that away from you. It's like if you've won an Olympic medal or a world championships in anything, that sticks with you forever. You will always be that 2017 World's Strongest Man. And you were sort of ahead of the game when it came to documenting your journey before Instagram was a big thing. I remember you always had a film crew and, you know, documenting that journey. And we have a funny moment together from when you, I think it was one of your first attempts at the world record, not the current world record you hold now in the deadlift, where yeah. I went up and interviewed. I'm going to let you tell that story because we've both shared it. It went viral a few times.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. Yeah, you're right. I was chasing down the world record in a competition one day, and I think I dropped a weight. It was the British record, so it was a little bit under the world record, and I dropped the weight and I failed it. And then I said to the referee, can I have one more go? And usually nobody gets it up the second time. You know, everyone's just like, wrote me off. So I pulled it and I completed the lift. And there was a big thing about not being allowed to drop the bar. And so I held it there just to make a point. And then I sort of spotted you in the corner of my eye. I was like, sod it. Come on, let's get this interview whilst I'm holding this world record in the air. And you just popped over and shoved the microphone in my face whilst I'm holding over 1,000 pounds in my arms. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
That was crazy. And I remember at the time thinking, one, I knew that if you dropped it, it would be a no lift and I'd feel responsible. Two, my toes were underneath the bar as well. I had my high heels on in this grass. I thought, oh, don't drop it on my toes. I remember that moment. It's incredible. And it's been shared virally many times since. And I've followed your career. I know you've retired from Strongman now, and we want to talk about this incredible transformation you've made in your body and your health and this transition to boxing as well, which we get into. But first of all, why was it the time to leave Strongman? I know when you pulled that world record in the deadlift, huge health implications were associated with that. Tell us a little bit about that and why, how dangerous it really was for your body.
Yeah, I mean, there was a few factors that came into the equation of me retiring. The first factor is I promised myself and my family that I'd only win the World's Strongest Man once and walk away, just for the sheer amount of time that I put into the sport. In order to be the World's Strongest Man, you've got to be absolutely obsessed. Like, you've got to eat, sleep, and I'm going to say poop it because I don't want to swear. But you've got to live it. And if you're not living it, then you're not going to be World's Strongest Man. So I'm afraid that it wasn't just my sacrifice. You know, I was barely seeing my kids for an hour or 2 hours a week. I never spent any time with my wife or my family. And it was just a massive sort of, yeah, it was great to be on this journey and it's great to achieve it. But it was such a huge sacrifice. I had to step back for that reason. Second factor is, yeah, I was, I think when I won the World's Strongest Man, I was 433 pounds in American terms. And I was over 400 pounds for 4 years. So, you know, walking around at that weight for that longer period, was very dangerous, you know, and I'm very lucky to still be here right now. So yeah, as soon as I won the title, it was like, right, I've achieved my dream. Now I need to step back and think about my health and drop some weight and sort of get more into the cardio side of things and enjoy life a little bit more. You know, it shouldn't all be military. So it was nice to step back and really savor the moment, you know, winning the world title. And it was nice. I had a good year after that. You know, I had my honeymoon 5 years late. Because, you know, we never had a honeymoon because I was so obsessed with my training. We couldn't afford to take a week off my training. So that's my first holiday, and my honeymoon was, you know, straight after the title and spending a lot of time with the family and sort of catching up with friends. It was a real nice sort of transition from being this obsessed athlete to becoming a little bit of a normal human being for a little bit.
I love the way you say a little bit of a human being, because I don't think that mentality ever leaves you, does it? That kind of drive to be the best at something. So you said you were sort of over 400 pounds in weight. What do you have to eat to sustain that amount of muscle mass or body mass, if you like? I mean, you've probably asked this question all the time, but how many calories, what type of foods are you eating?
So, I mean, the bases are there. You know, you've got to have your chicken, rice and veg. You've got to have your good substance to get the protein, the carbs and the fats in. But the thing is with strongman, it's calories in. You know, you've got to put as much weight on as you can, because the heavier you are, the more weight you move. It's the good old saying, weight moves weight. You know, if you're pulling a 20-ton airplane, if you're weighing near enough to a ton yourself, you're going to pull it a lot better than the kid that weighs 50 kilo. So it was just huge volumes of food. You know, I was doing 12,000 calories a day. As you say, getting the basis in, but I'd have a good lunch. Say like a lunch for me would be a steak, you know, good meaty steak, rice, vegetables. But then I mean, it sounds great, but I'd have like a full family cheesecake for my dessert.
We call them dirty calories. Dirty calories in to bulk
exactly.
up.
So I was having, like, you know, after every meal, I was like guzzling ice cream, cheesecakes, and, you know, sort of topping up like 2,000-3,000 calories after every meal, or just junk. But you've got to do it to sort of be that size and be that strong. So, a lot of food is the answer.
So you've been on this big transformation now. We're going to talk about the boxing match that should have been, that hopefully will be soon, against your arch rival, Hafþór Bjørnsson. Backstory there, I know. But at what point did you decide, one, I'm going to start boxing, and two, I'm going to drop a huge amount of weight? How much weight is it you've lost?
So, I mean, at my biggest was 196 kilo, 433 pounds. I think at the minute I'm sitting about 345 pounds. So, I mean, what's that? That's 60, 70, 80, 90. I mean, let's call it 100 pounds nearly I've lost.
You know, big difference.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a big, big difference.
How do you feel different in yourself? How do you feel different in your energy and focus? And
it's a weird one, because even though you're the world's strongest man and you kind of get this, when you're handed that title, you kind of almost get a little bit of a God complex. You know, you sort of think you can walk through walls, and you probably could. You know, you're the strongest man on the planet. I suppose losing all that weight, it's hard to let go. It's hard to let go of power. And I think once you've been at the top of a pinnacle of a sport, and it's well documented, and I'm sure you know this yourself, Caroline, is when you've been performing at such a high level and you've competed and you win an event, sorry to swear, but at the end of the day, you know, the next day you've still got to sit down and take a shit like everybody else. You know, it doesn't make you any better than anyone. And that's the true reality, you know, and that's hard to take for a lot of people. And it was hard to take for myself is to step back and sort of come back down to a normal standard of living and let go of that strength and size and power. So it was hard. Even though it's great being that big, it's uncomfortable. You know, you're walking around at huge, getting on a plane, you know, even a business class flight. It's so uncomfortable. Traveling on the train, uncomfortable. Getting in my car was uncomfortable. Putting my socks on was uncomfortable. So just that quality of life was terrible. Whereas now, you know, I'm out walking, I'm running every morning with my dog. I can travel easily. You know, I'm fit and healthy. I can play with my kids without getting out of breath and dying, you know, nearly dying. So it's a much better quality of life being what I am now.
Yeah. There's a really funny photo of yourself and another former world's strongest man, Brian Shaw, sat next to each other on a plane, shoulder to shoulder, sort of crunched in it. Hilarious. But I know you had problems breathing in your sleep as well, didn't you? With that amount of weight sitting on your chest. I mean, there's a lot, obviously, to be the best at something, it's always going to be extreme. And in your case, it wasn't necessarily healthy as well, as you said. So in order to lose the weight you have, drop your body fat, you know, train for this boxing match, which was supposed to be September 18th against Hathor. What are the biggest changes that you made? You mentioned walking with your dog. I think that's a non-negotiable. You do that every morning, right?
Yeah. So every morning I get up, first thing I do is grab my dog and go out for a run. Every single morning I do a mile and a half. And that I would say that's been one of the biggest transitions, is just getting up and get moving straight away. It helps you lose weight and feel good. You know, it sets your day up so well. Obviously, reduce the diet. You know, I've gone from eating 12,000 calories to probably no more than 6,000 now.
It still sounds a lot.
It still, yeah. And, you know, I'm boxing 4 times a week. I've dropped my weight sessions from four times a week down to 2. I'm swimming 2-3 times a week. You know, with the runs and everything else, I'm doing a lot of hours, sort of doing cardio. So I'm fit. You know, I'm fitter than 99% of the population. You know, so it's a much better quality of life, for sure.
I bet. And you talked earlier about, you know, that expectation, you're the world's strongest man, you know, and it is an identity change, isn't it? That's your identity for years. That's been your identity. Do you identify now with being a boxer? Is that something that you get up every day and say, right, I'm going to knock people out now for a living. This is what I'm going to do.
You know what? I think I'll always, you know, people say, you know, when I introduce myself, I'm always the world's strongest man. You know, it's like when you've been the heavyweight world champion in boxing, you're always the heavyweight world champion. You never lose that title. So I'll always, you know, I'm always the proudest of my strongman achievement. With the boxing now, it's something that if I wanted to get into, I couldn't have, because my wife wouldn't have let me. But the fact that Thor called me out, it changed the game for me. Because, you know, Thor wronged me in World's Strongest Man 2017. He accused me and the referees of cheating, I could win the title, which has now been proven correct. You know, we proved him wrong via evidence. So, you know, that's clear. But the guy still hasn't apologized. He still thinks he should have won. He still says to everyone he was robbed. He still says the referees are corrupt. So to me, you know, I can't forgive that. So when he offered me a fight, I just turned to the wife. And before I could even ask her, she was like, you're going to knock him out. So I signed that contract on the dot straight away, and I became a full-time boxer overnight. And it wasn't a choice. It literally was. I had to do this. I had to do this to settle the score between me and Thor.
And I think during lockdown, he unofficially tried to, or did, lift, was it an extra kilogram, 501 kilograms in the deadlift? And I know that sort of fueled the animosity even further, because it wasn't official, but to say that he'd lifted more. I mean, what's the story behind that? Do you think that was just to sort of poke you a little bit more?
100% it was to poke at me, you know, and you know, he offered the fight on the back of that lift he did in his home gym. End of the day, you know, all I have to say is if I had pulled 500 kilo in my home gym, with my dad weighing the plates and everyone in that room paid to be there, every single person, every single fan, strongman, promoter, everyone would have called BS. So I don't understand why people think that can happen, you know, because that shouldn't be allowed in any sport. It's like Usain Bolt running 6 seconds on his own track at home and his dad timing it and him saying that's the world record. It's just ridiculous. He just shouldn't have been even sort of mentioned as a world record, but he seems to think it stands. I don't. I think the majority back me. You know, world record should be done in competition, especially when it's such a lift that is so sort of under speculation anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like, you need to have athletes there to lift that weight and verify that those are the real weights and the real bar and that no one's dodging anything. So I think that's important. And I think that should be, you know, that should be related in all sports.
Yeah. So obviously the world record is still yours. So it fueled this boxing match. It was meant to be September 18th. You've tore your bicep tendon. I mean, I know it's an occupational hazard for a strong man anyway. I've seen many bicep tendon pop up with Atlas Stone lifts and so forth, but you did it during boxing training. It's had to be postponed. Firstly, how's it doing? How's the injury doing?
It's doing great. I only had 1 week off boxing, to be honest. I was straight in the ring the next week with me arm tied to my chin, boxing with my other arm. But I'm back using it now. I've just got to build up that power. The surgeon sort of said it was an old injury from strongman that surfaced with the boxing. You know, all this heavy bag work I've been doing. It's just smash after smash, day after day. And obviously something's got to give at some point. So it blew off, you know. And these things happen. Yeah, it was hard to take, but I've got a good grip on life. You know, as soon as it happened, within an hour, I was booked in for surgery. And 2 days later, I had it reattached. 2 days later, I was back training, you know? So I just get on with stuff. It doesn't really bother me, you know? I'm still confident that he's going to get hurt.
Is there a new date set, or are you waiting to see how things progress?
There's no actual confirmed date, but we're looking at the end of March, so it's not too far away, yeah.
With this surgery, am I right in thinking you stayed awake to film the reattachment of your bicep? Eddie, you're crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good reason for it. The thing is, if you get put to sleep, the recovery process is quite long-winded. You know, you've got to stay overnight, and then you're talking, you might have to stay another day in hospital to sort of make sure you recovered from the anesthetic and everything. And, you know, the surgeon said, well, if you don't have an anesthetic, you can do it awake and you can go home tonight. And I said, well, I'd rather sleep in my own bed, get up in the morning, eat good food and get back to training. So that's what we did. It was more of a, you know, I need to get back to training. I need to get recovered as quickly as possible. It wasn't an easy decision. You know, nobody wants to have surgery awake, but it was just one of these things where I needed to get back to training.
That's insane. Well, as part of this podcast, we want to talk about health hacks and tips and tricks to help you recover better, perform better, live better, etc. So obviously injuries are something you've probably experienced quite a few of within your occupation. What advice would you give to people, and what do you do yourself to help prevent injuries, you know, look after the tissues and tendons of your body, especially when you start to push your limits?
Yeah, I mean, I'm the king of recovery. You know, I've got every single recovery tool in my basement. I've got hyperbaric chambers. I've got cryotherapy machines. I've got shockwave machines. I've got me a physio bed, and my physio comes to me every single day. I've got red light therapy, TENS machines, you name it, I've got it, you know, and I'm working hard on that. I would say that the number one thing to sort of looking after yourself with in terms of injury prevention would be sort of hydration. Hydration is one of the main things that people get wrong in training and in competition. If you're not hydrated, you're at a massive risk of tearing a muscle or tearing a tendon off. Second is diet. End of the day, you need good vitamins and minerals to sort of repair your muscles and your tendons. And then third is do your recovery. You know, a lot of people neglect physiotherapy because it costs a lot of money. And I was the same when I first started out with Strongman. Spending 40 quid for an hour's physio was insane. You know, it was on a very bad wage, let's say, when I first started out in Strongman. And £40 a week on physio was just obscene to me. But now I do physio 5 times a week. You know, I'm spending $300, $350, $400+ a week on physiotherapy. And then I've invested a hell of a lot of money in my recovery tools. I say every single day after my lunch, I'll sleep for an hour in my hyperbaric chamber, breathing pure oxygen. At the end of the day, I'll do my cryotherapy. So I'll get in the cryotherapy. I'll do 3 minutes in that and freeze myself. And then I'll do my physio. I'll go. And then I've got a spa built in my garden now, luckily. Very blessed.
Amazing.
So I've got a swimming pool with really jets that I work my muscles against. And then I've got a sauna that I jump in for 20 minutes. And then I've got an ice bath, a refrigerated ice bath that I jump in for 4 or 5 minutes and then go back in the sauna and switch and reverse and that. Again, with all the red light therapy and the shockwave therapy and everything else, I've got a pretty insane setup at home.
That's incredible. And hasn't sports science just advanced so much from when I started competing in track and field, your early days in strongman? I mean, those things weren't even heard of. We may have jumped in an ice bath with ice you put in yourself from the freezer just to make it a little bit colder. Things have really come a long way. And this podcast is sponsored by Lumen, the first ever handheld device to track metabolism, to help you achieve metabolic flexibility, see what fat burning zone we're in. And I think that knowledge is power nowadays for athletes and for everyday people. And on the subject of metabolism, how has your metabolism shifted? Because more muscle mass and material burns more calories, but then you're leaner now as well, and you're moving more and you're doing more cardio. So what's been the change in your metabolism from that weight loss and that change in the training that you do?
I mean, I would say with Strongman, you are... A good way of describing Strongman is you're basically being hit by a bus every single day. You know, you are breaking your body down to the point where you are battering yourself. You wake up in the morning and you're just like, you have to crowbar yourself out of the bed because you're that sore from the session from the night before. And the thing is with lifting weights, you're ripping muscles constantly. And that takes a lot of energy in itself. But where people sort of get the confusion is it takes so much energy and calories to repair. So even when you're asleep, all those muscles that you've ripped are using up so much energy to repair. Whereas I would say like a long distance runner, I'm not saying I'm a long distance runner, but you know, I'm doing a lot more cardio things now. You're just working more on the lung side of things, and there's not so much to repair afterwards. So I have to find, like, I'm working with a top level nutritionist now, and we are eating for the sessions. Whereas with strongman, I was just eating for eating's sake. Now I eat certain foods at certain times of the day to help spike the glycogen and the, you know, the stores and everything. So make sure I'm fueled for the sessions, but I'm not putting fuel in when it's not needed. I would say that, you know, the bit that the metabolic change is really for me is it's all slowed down massively because I've had to. You know, my body's not working in its sleep anymore as much as it was. And I think that's the biggest change, is it's took a massive strain off in that respect.
So you're being more efficient. Food or fuel, specifically what you're doing, you're probably then metabolizing more effectively than you possibly did in the past, hence the change in your body shape. And I think, again, the message being that a lot of these things aren't just for pro athletes like yourself. They're for everyday people. You know, talking about, I always say train hard, recover harder. And I think even if you're an everyday person that's training for your body shape or fitness or a marathon or whatever it is, I think that should be something just as important. So you talked about the cryotherapy and the hyperbaric chambers and the ice baths. Which of those, I mean, not everyone has access to all of those things. You have an incredible setup. But if somebody could choose one of those things to help their recovery, which one would you suggest people go and do?
I mean, the easiest one to get out is an ice bath. You know, the people have got no excuse in terms of recovery. You can buy an old horse trough. You can get an old water container, put it in your garden, get a hose pipe, fill it up. There's your ice bath, you know, and you can warm up naturally. So, you know, there's no excuses as to not do the hot and cold stuff. I would say the most beneficial for me has got to be the hyperbaric chamber. It's where you climb in a chamber, you pressurize it to 2 atmospheric pressures, which is 15 psi. So it's like you're inside a tire. That's how you explain it. And you breathe pure oxygen when you're in the chamber. And what the pressures do is force that oxygen into your muscles, into those little capillaries, into your plasma, and it helps it recover 12 times quicker. So 1 hour in the chamber is like having 12 hours outside the chamber. So if you think about it, I do an hour and a half every day. I'm getting pretty much another 5-6 days recovery a week on anybody else. And that's huge. That is, you know, it was a big investment. Don't get me wrong, but it's paid off so much. You know, the chamber got delivered the day after I had my bicep surgery. So it couldn't have come any better timing. And going off what the surgeons have said, I mean, we did the 6-week scan just to make sure it was healing well. And he sort of rung me up, you know, we did a Zoom call and he sort of said, I'm shocked. I've never seen anyone heal this quick. You're done. You know, just give it a couple more weeks to sort of let it bed in. But I think you can get back to boxing pretty like now. And we talked about what I've done differently. And all we can think is the hyperbaric chamber. You know, it's so good for recovery. So again, if you think about what it's doing to an injury, what's it doing to your body every day when you've not got an injury? It's helping you recover so, so quickly.
Yeah, that's pretty phenomenal. And obviously with the ice, people, if they're wondering why get in an ice bath, reduce inflammation and then allow that blood flow to flood back into the muscles. I've done it many times myself. One of the last questions I want to ask you, because it's a question I know a lot of male athletes or male fitness enthusiasts, if you like, ask, is how can you build muscle but lose fat at the same time? It's like the classically asked question. How can you maintain or build muscle but at the same time lean down? What would you say to those people?
So, I mean, building muscle and losing fat at the same time is a super hard thing to do, because in order to put any weight on, you need a calorie plus. You know, you've got to be up on your calories for your body to grow. I would say that doing weights is probably the number one thing you can do to sort of put muscle on whilst decreasing your fat, and it is possible. And it's like I said earlier, because you repair in your sleep from the weight training, you are burning fat in your sleep. So that fat's been used up to repair your muscles. So I would say a high protein diet, you know, is a must. High protein, good fats, good carbs, time them right. You know, so in the morning, you want a good hit of protein, good hit of carbs for your day. You want to, you know, want to eat your lunch or evening meal for your training session. So, I mean, a lot of people finish work at 5 o'clock, go and train, and then they'll eat. My advice, if you do that, is try and get more protein in and lower carbs and fats, because after in the evening, you're not going to need any more energy, you know? So you want to use your fat stores to sort of repair. So keep the carbs and fats down in the evening. That's a nice way of doing it.
Okay, I like it. I like it. And just lastly, what else have you got going on right now? I know there's a ton of business ventures and events and all that kind of thing. You're training and recovering full-time as well for this upcoming boxing match. But what else are you doing and where else can people find you?
Oh, there's so much going on in my life right now. I mean, obviously the big fight with Thor is due in March. So, you know, that's the number one. I've had to put a lot of things on hold for this fight. You know, I've got a lot of film opportunities. I've got two main roles in a film and two films that are on hold for me. And I've had to turn, I've lost out on a blockbuster appearance because of the fight. I've had to turn it down because it meant quite like over a month of filming, so I had to turn that down. But there's more blockbuster sort of appearances in the future that are lined up. So, and I've got a lot of TV shows lined up as well. I've done, you know, a few eating series. I think Eddie Eats America is on the Food Channel in the States.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So I've got a few, you know, TV shows that I need to, they're all on hold. You know, thankfully all the TV producers and the heads of channels are like, you know, they love me that much. They put everything on hold. As soon as your fight's done, come back and we'll get it done. So I guess when the fight's done, I've got a big decision as to, do I carry on with the fight career or do I go back and, you know, back to my sort of midlife crisis after Strongman and get back into TV shows, you know. So I've got a lot of thinking to do.
Well, you're a natural entertainer. Just before I let you go with the boxing side of things, we're seeing a lot of crossover athletes into boxing, from MMA guys like Tyron Woodley fighting Jake Paul, a YouTuber, or Logan fighting Floyd Mayweather. Do you think this is becoming popularized now? And do you think we will expect to see more athletes crossing over? And why boxing? Why does everyone want to box, do you
think? I think boxing is it's the alpha sport. You know, who can knock each other out? It's in a legal manner. I mean, obviously MMA is up there with it, but I just think boxing is so mano-mano. You know, it's toe-to-toe. You know, you're in the ring and you're just punching each other in the face. And people want to see who's the alpha, you know. That's why there's always going to be an interest with fighting and boxing. And I think that all these celebs and all these people getting into boxing, I mean, a lot of people moan that it, you know, it's dragging the sport down. And I know I've spoken to a lot of boxers, a lot of big boxers, and they actually think it brings the sport up. And I kind of agree. Putting so many eyes onto the sport, there's so much more money going back into the sport. You know, there's people getting paydays that basically they wouldn't have earned, you know, they could do 100 fights and wouldn't earn the money they're earning now. And it's because of these big YouTubers like Jake Paul that are bringing it back to the limelight. Because I'm sorry to say, I mean, boxing's always been up there for me, but I think, you know, it's had its ups and downs. And I think boxing the last, not so much the last couple of years, but before that, it had a real dip, boxing did, I thought. You know, it lost its excitement. You know, people like AJ and Tyson Fury, the thought of those two getting in the ring, it sounds amazing. And the thought of Jake Paul possibly fighting Tyson Fury or AJ, and it could happen, and it's exciting, and fair play to the bloke. You know, he's done it all by himself. He's brought all his opportunities for himself and for other people, and I think it's an absolutely amazing thing he's done.
Yeah, I agree with you as well. And I think it's got a lot of eyes on boxing. It's made it exciting again. And can't wait to see you get in the ring and put that to bed. As always, it's been great to see you and catch up. It's been a long time, and wishing you best of luck with all your endeavors.
And you, Caroline. Thank you so much. You take care.
And thank you for listening to the Health Hack Podcast with myself, Caroline Pierce. Each episode provides a healthy dose of health hacking, so make sure to hit subscribe or follow so you don't miss out. I would be truly grateful if you could rate and review wherever you're listening to help others seeking inspiring stories and health hacks to find us. The Health Hack is an Insanity Podcast production and powered by Lumen. See you next time.